proud to say I've won very few awards.
I actually was going I have an award the other day that I got from, I can't remember, but it's actually a very nice award.
Ooh, what?
The Gracie Awards. And like other people, like, oh, it was like for women and like,
yeah.
And, like, but then that was like a few months ago, but then that's my only award. And then my second award I got the other day from Victoria's Secret.
Ooh, what?
They named me Sexiest Hair.
Fuck yeah.
Nice. And congrats. Then
you do. I'm sitting across from our amazing guest, Olivia Munn, who has incredibly sexy hair.
Thanks, guys.
Later on.
You can pet it.
Well, I was hoping to kind of drug you and maybe take some of it. Oh. Would you, how mad on a
I wouldn't, it'd be depend on how good the drugs made me feel and how bad the hangover was. Okay, then you can do what you want. But I had my award next to my boyfriend's awards. Like, cause he has a few at my house, but he gets so many.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I felt really like, I was like, okay, well I've got my Victoria's Secrets and my Gracie Award. I'm super excited about
I gotta tell you, those are a great awards.
They're better than all of his awards together, for
yes,
sure.
For sure.
Better,
I do have a Stony.
NFL MVP.
100%.
Yeah.
Two-time MVP.
Better than Super Bowl MVP.
100%. My Victoria's Secrets Award, the star spins. His awards don't spin.
That's awesome.
And it's pink.
Oh, man, what do I have to do to get a Victoria's Secret Award?
I'm gonna talk to somebody. What would you like? Sexiest?
Sexiest, I don't know, elbows.
Oh!
I wouldn't mind, I recently, you know, I finally got, like, some laser hair removal.
Mm-hmm. But first time?
Yeah. Like, you know, because that's what you do in your late 30s. You finally get on that bandwagon. But my gynecologist told me that the bush is back.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, she's telling you that the bush, because she sees all them.
Yeah. I said, guess what, Dr. Gilbert Glenn's?
You see a guy?
No. She's awesome. Amanda's laughing. My friend Amanda's here, too. She's laughing because she, she introduced me to Dr. Gilbert Glenn's.
But I love that your doctor is just down there going, Anna, you need more hair. The bush is back.
I said, you know, guess what? I'm getting laser hair removal. And she said, well, too late, because guess what? The bush is back. And she knows. She's a Beverly Hills gynecologist.
Wait, what does that mean exactly? What do you mean by the bush is back? I guess it's not like a full-on 70s, like, Merkin-style bush.
I don't know.
But also what's funny is that, like, it's not like people see them. It's not like, hey, shoulder bags are back. Or, like, hey, capri pants are back. Like, this is something that, like, not everybody has. I mean, she sees it all. But, like, it's kind of – this is where you can say – personal preference.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Yeah. I just feel, you know.
I did it years ago, though.
Like me to finally do something just as the trend is waning.
I don't know if guys are going to be happy with this new trend.
Yeah. With the...
The new Bush is back trend?
Yeah.
I don't know any guys
Hashtag that are Bush is back.
There you go.
I don't know. Don't you guys like a little Easter egg hunt? Hide and seek?
Just a little more work. As if it's not complicated enough. Let me just add a forest.
I'm just saying now
option what are you gonna
is
do?
Removed. I don't know. I don't have a choice.
You have to do a few... Laser hair removal goes in stages.
Yeah. I've done enough.
Well, you know what they said, I don't know, but my doctor told me that whenever you have kids, every time you have kids, because your hormones kick back in, that, you know, if you've done laser hair removal, your hair can come back. So if you have another kid, you can have another kid to bring Chris the bush.
There's a reason to have another child.
You're like, why did you want a second baby, mommy? Because mommy needed bush, okay? Daddy needed an obstacle course down there, and that's why you're here. Thank Dr. Gilbert, whatever.
Sounds like a lot of work all around. All parties
involved.
It's just
a lot of work down there. A lot of happening to you down there.
Okay, so.
So is this what we came to talk about?
Yes, exactly.
Good talk. I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, Olivia.
I'll see you next week on The Bush is Back.
Okay, Olivia, now here are some things that we want to talk about. Number one, I have a list of men and professions that are tricky to date.
Oh, okay.
And I violated my own list because I married an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But on my list, well, magician is number one.
Yes, I would say yes.
Musician is number two.
I'm agreeing with you so far.
Thank you. Unless they're classical. I mean, you know, like oboe number three. He seems like a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, like that. I was thinking, like, what's classical?
You know what I mean? Like they're an orchestra.
Oh, like yeah.
Yeah.
Like someone who plays at the
Philharmonic. You don't want a first.
The first chair.
Yeah, you don't want a first chair. No, that's too much ego there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also on my list, chefs, because I think I worry about like the temper that they could bring home that they've cultivated in the kitchen.
The temper. I thought that you were going to say because they would cook too many things and you'd end up gaining weight and then they would, you know.
No.
I'm the kitchen.
I'm worried a little bit about the temperament.
What chefs have you been around?
None.
You're only watching like Hell's Kitchen.
All of this information is not based off of experience. It really is reality television.
100%.
But also on my list is professional athlete.
Yeah.
Because I think it must be hard to if there's a bad game or something like that, if you have to do a lot of like emotional support, kind of like an actor, you know, like, oh, I'm really sorry you didn't get the role or whatever. So anyway, that's all. It's less of a question because I didn't want to pin you down on this,
but it's a great question because the other ones are completely valid. Never date first chair oboe player. 100% agree with that. Never. But never date a magician. Too tricky. Don't trust him. And all chefs are super angry. I agree with you now. I didn't believe it until you just pitched me on it, and now I believe it.
And yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But Aaron, my boyfriend, is, I don't know. I mean, I know more professional athletes because I've been around, you know, with him. And everybody in Green Bay is actually really cool and chill. We're very lucky because we have a really great family there of teammates and the wives and girlfriends, and it's really chill and it's so nice, and we just all have each other. It's kind of all we have there. But for him, he just never brings it home.
Oh God, that's amazing.
And I want to get into it because I'm watching and I have so many questions. And he'll answer every question, but you know, there's days where, you know, he came home after, you know, amazing Hail Mary, Detroit, and he came back, and then the next day we were just playing hide and seek with our friends' kids in the house, like no one was talking about it. Like we wanted to talk to him about it, but
yeah.
That's his job and it's his work, and then and he tries so hard and he tries his best, but it just is never, he doesn't bring home the negativity. And he also doesn't bring, it's like when things are good or bad, it's not like we all have to be happy when he's happy or upset when he's upset.
That sounds unbelievably healthy.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, I think it's just who he is. You know, but his journey to becoming a professional athlete was, you know, I think a lot different than people who have gotten to his level. You know, he didn't get any scholarships out of high school. Like, he even has his letter still where they said, like, you know, sorry, we wish you luck in trying to play collegiate ball, but it's not going to happen. He went to...
I wrote him that letter.
Did you? Honey, you were so wrong. You were hanging out with too many chefs.
I know.
Bad attitude. You had that bad chef attitude. And then he went to junior college and then played really well there. Then went to... to Cal. Yeah. But then he was supposed to... You know, they thought that he was going to go number one in the draft, and then he ended up, you know... going to number 24, which is still, you know, in first round. But back in the day, the drafts took so long. So like he was there all day long. And then he goes, so usually when you're a top quarterback in college and they're talking about you going number one, you're going somewhere where you're going to play immediately. But he went to Green Bay where they already had an amazing quarterback and, you know, future Hall of Famer.
And he had to wait. And he had to sit and learn and wait until it was his time. And then go through the retirement, I'm not retiring.
That whole thing back and forth. And then when he did start, then all of the fans were booing him.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think it was like only like a couple years after he actually started where he won the Super Bowl. And now, you know, there's so much respect and so much love, and he deserves it. But he talks about that being like such a great thing for him, like to have gone through, you know, always being like not having
that sudden head rush of like,
yeah. And it's not all about him all the time. It's just like, just do your work. I asked him once, like, talked about when people have kids and they're so successful, like, what do you, like, how do you, like, if your kid wants to be a a football player or a, you know, anything in sports. Like, and what if we have that kid, God help us if we, you know, if we do, but the kid that's like, well, I can't do anything because my dad, and it always feels like he's living in your shadow. And then, and he's never trying hard because he just thinks, well, I can't do it. And he just kind of uses that as an excuse. And I said, what would you tell him? And he had the perfect answer instantly. He said, I would tell him, well, and especially if the kid was saying, you don't know what it feels like. And he said, yes, I do. Look what I went through. Yeah. I was in the shadow of other people. And what you do is you learn. You mm-hmm. keep your head down, you work hard, and you learn. And I was like, well, that's it. I mean, that's just...
perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Hey, dear listeners, I want to thank our presenting sponsor, State Farm, for supporting Unqualified. I also want to say that the only real difference between your closest friend and a State Farm agent is that one of them loves to talk about home and auto insurance. Please check out statefarm.com today to find an agent in your neighborhood. State Farm, talk to an agent today.
You and I have known each other for a little while, uh-huh. and I got the pleasure of meeting Aaron at the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and he was just the loveliest guy. And my husband, Chris Pratt, was totally starstruck, as aww. Was I. And but you guys are a really lovely, you know, couple. And I feel the same way about Chris in terms of he didn't have – it's easy to look at someone's career and be like, oh, he became a star overnight. But the truth is that Chris had – years of doing small roles, struggle, mm-hmm. rejection, like, you know, like a lot of us, and how that is, it is really important, I think, for character and for just not taking anything for granted. And
well, just when you get to that place, like what's happened with Chris and where Aaron got, you know, the a lot of times people get there and they're just so excited to be there and they forget how to be human. Mm-hmm. They know they lose their humanity. They stop seeing people. They don't know how to look at you in the eye anymore. They're looking for somebody else. They've got this massive group of people around them all the time. They disconnect. And I'm just, you know, I think that it can happen to the best of the people, but you know, thankfully, you know, I knew Chris way back, I mean, I didn't know him, but I'd hung out with him on set when he was shooting a movie with somebody else I know that was shooting a movie way back when. He was so nice. And then I've run into him a couple times, I think since, you know, in the last few years when things really, and he's the same
he
guy.
He is. He's
and,
a good guy.
And you never know when you see that person.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, like I don't know if all, cause they're going to have the before when you're there hanging out and there's the other big stars around and they're very personal, you know, they're personal because they're here and they're looking at you because there's the other big stars that are taking up the room. And then all of a sudden they become the big star and you don't know, are they going to see you?
Because fame can be really poisonous to some people.
Yeah. And also I think people get used to people like, it's not that their head got so big, it's that everybody starts to want something from you. And then you start to kind of, you know, get into a shell because it's so, I've seen that happen to people. They're so tired of people.
I want
coming
something from you.
What do you want?
Victoria's Secret hair.
Well, you can.
I'm going to attach it to my bush.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing is I haven't gotten super famous like that yet. I'm not at Chris Pratt, Aaron Rodgers level. So like, I'm going to be super happy when you like drug me because I'll talk about it in a way that I'm like really upset, but I'll be like the first and last name being like Anna Faris. It's totally drugged me.
Yes.
And took my hair. Because like she really, really wants to be my friend. But I'm really busy, but I'm not. Yeah. I'm like, I just want that to happen.
Good. Well, you're in luck.
Well, and you're going to be in Atlanta with me.
I know. We're going to be in Atlanta together.
I think that we might have to like share a house since like we were talking about the rates in Atlanta. Everyone's trying to gouge us. I'm just going to go live with you guys.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Please
Can I Instagram the entire relationship?
Yes.
I just
don't worry about
hours.
The camera that's in your shower, okay?
Look, that's for security. Really? Look, just for making sure you're safe. You didn't want to wash a little lower? What's that? Anna, what's that? Olivia, Bush is back. What's that? What's that? What's happening?
I'm going to steal your razor.
Oh, my gosh. You can make a little Olivia doll, and I can make an Anna doll.
Oh. Okay, so now we are going to get into the segment which we now call not so rapid fire. It used to be called rapid fire, but
Sim was like,
not
no,
so this rapid fire.
It takes forever now.
I know. Well, look, I was at Sim. He's already tired.
I was just about to say, like, you and me together, it's not because I talk in such a circuitous way. Like, nothing. Like, I will get back eventually, but I'm going to take this route. And
I like that circuitous.
Yeah.
Circuitous.
Circuitous. You go all around yeah. just to get to back to the really easy spot. But it's hard to keep me on track. And I can see that it's hard to keep you on track.
Yes,
so
it totally is. That's
not so rapid.
Podcast, not so rapid fire when we just make our own rules.
Okay. You are a former sideline reporter for college football. I tricked Chris.
Wait,
into...
is that not true? That's not true.
Not true?
Well, I
Sim is my research partner.
Well,
my research is...
I'm like, all of your media. Rapid fire... You guys want to go back to your rapid... Let's start again with rapid fire. Okay. With the new, whole new rapid fire. Not
okay,
so rapid fires to start with new
okay,
question.
Wait. But you know... Okay, let's just put it like this. You know a lot about football.
I know more... You could phrase it as I know... I may know more. You may know more about
you
football.
You may know more about football than I do. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a high likelihood that you do. I tricked Chris into marrying me by pretending to know things about football. He quickly found out that I know nothing about football. Can you give me a few things to say that would be incredibly impressive and sexy, like an obscure rule, or I told Sim that I don't even know what a tight end is.
Mm.
You know, or like I don't know anything. Could I like pull something? I need something in my pocket that I could pull out and be like, whoa, that was a hell of a snap. I don't even know what a snap is. I know that people say that sometimes.
You could say, you could ask him, you could start the conversation and say, hey, do you think that this year they're finally going to change the overtime rules? And he'll say,
oh. Is that up?
You'll be Chris.
Great question, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Go for it. Let's do it. You be Chris.
I'll be Anna.
Okay.
I'm growing hair again.
Why, babe?
Bush is back.
I totally love
Bush is back. Olivia Munn's Bush is back. And it's on me. And she's asleep in our closet. Shh.
It's weird. You've got some short ones and then some really long ones down there.
Some are real, some are hers.
Well, honey, what was your question about football?
Oh, yeah. So I'm Anna, you're Chris. Hey, babe. Really loved you in Jurassic World. So do you think that this year the NFL is going to change the overtime rules?
Well, what'd you like best about me in Jurassic?
It was amazing how you transformed your body by just biking and running with those Navy SEALs and eating only lean meats and vegetables.
Well, you know. I know that you sort of resented some of my time away, you know, with my SEAL buddies and stuff, but we're over that now.
Well, yeah, because I was at home eating cupcakes and taking care of your child. But I'm happy you have more friends.
Olivia Munn and Anna Faris are having a marital fight.
and I don't know anything about it, but yet I feel like I know everything about it.
You're spot on with some of that.
Yeah.
I don't know, hon. I really hope they change those overtime rules.
Well, yeah, because it's like, it should go to the college football rules in overtime. In the NFL, in overtime rules, they flip a coin and whoever wins the coin toss gets the ball first. Or gets to decide who wants the ball.
Babe. I love you, but why?
Because I'm just trying to impress you with all of my knowledge. And I'm also trying to role play so that you understand part of the role play.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Okay, cool.
And whoever wins the coin toss gets to decide who gets the ball. Now, usually the people who win the coin toss take the ball because if you get a touchdown first, the game's over. In college, both teams get a chance to have the ball. Now, the reason why that's crazy in the NFL, this is me as Anna Faris speaking, it's crazy because you play this entire game and then nothing matters after the coin toss. So the entire game you just played doesn't matter. All that matters is the coin toss, and then whoever wins that really has the advantage of winning the entire game. So why don't we just play that game? Can we just play the coin toss game?
Babe, like, you're so fucking sexy right now.
Thanks. Thanks.
I'm serious. Thanks. I want to fucking take you upstairs.
And Jurassic all over you. Yeah. The reason why that's the like my own tangent. The reason why to me it's like if we played an entire game of Trivial Pursuit, and then afterwards I said, okay, now we're gonna play Go Fish, Winner Takes All. It's like, well, then what was that whole Trivial Pursuit game for? No, that was just now we're here, now we play this, and so that's a little bit crazy to me.
Oh, well, first of all, I think
he would agree.
I think that's a very wise point, Anna. And I think that we should petition the NFL. First of all, coin toss in general seems a little silly.
Coin toss is good when it's like who decides
babe,
to go first.
Why are you disagreeing with me? You know I'm the man.
I just saw a squirrel outside. You want to go shoot it?
Stew.
Sausage.
Okay.
Wait, there's a third rapid fire question.
Yeah, we have a lot more, actually. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, not so rapid.
Okay. Olivia, you and I have something in common. We have both appeared on Maxim's Hot 100. Yeah. My rankings have decreased while your ranking has increased.
No.
Do you have any advice for me?
I don't think I think I'm probably off. I don't think I've even... It's like there's no increase or decrease. It just went off. I can't even remember the last time.
I think we saw you with 2 years in a row at number two.
That's true.
My research partner.
I loved it. I felt like the Prince Harry of Maxim. I felt like I get all of the fame and glory without any of the responsibilities of being the royal one. I got to go to Vegas and party naked with the ladies.
Who was number one both years?
I just know Rosie Huntington was one, mm-hmm. and I can't remember who.
Okay.
She's pretty hot.
She's really hot.
I was like number 47, and then it was like number 73, and I remember journalists, which at one point it's like
journalists would do what?
Oh, a journalist like asked me like, Anna, how do you feel about being going from 43 to 78 or whatever it was? It's like fucking awesome.
Oh,
dude,
my gosh. I hate questions like that. By the way, what do you think about the questions of ask her more?
I consider myself a feminist, I guess, sort of, whatever. Mm-hmm. If other feminists would be okay to accept me as a part of their group.
Which, by the way, would be so anti-feminist. To be like, we don't accept you, Anna Faris. You're not feminist enough. Bush is back. Let's see it. Then you can join our group.
I don't really give a shit. What do you think?
I think Ask Her More is a really great platform for long interviews, magazine interviews, anything like news, stuff where you're sitting down and doing a talk and like really getting into it. But I Ask Her More on the red carpet. That's not where I want you to ask me more.
And also,
I don't want you to ask me about the how did I come up with my character? Because that's like not going to, it's not like I'm not going to tell you, you want me to deduce all of this work I did into just a soundbite on the red carpet. And don't ask me about like ISIS or like who I want for president on
right.
the red. Ask me what I'm wearing on my carpet. Make it easy. Let's move on.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Ask for more
really
is a little
have
too.
15 seconds with these people. And also I see Chris, he doesn't necessarily get asked what he's wearing. He does sometimes, but I see him also getting asked pretty frivolous, easy to answer questions as well. So it almost seems like it feels like a silly platform for a more important discussion.
Yes. I think the movement should be more directed. I think they're just, it's like, yeah, I think exactly what you're saying.
You are my most perfect guest. Would you repeat that about 15 more times?
I think everything you're saying is
okay.
Perfect.
Jalen Roffling on Facebook wants to know, what's your strangest irrational fear?
My biggest irrational fear is the brain eating amoebas in warm bodies of water. And I don't think it's that irrational, but people might think it is because it doesn't happen to that many people, but it does. If you're a kid or, you know, you go into a lake that's not really cold, that actually like gets warmer, they are brain eating amoebas. And if it goes up your nostril, you die.
Oh no.
Do you remember Star Trek movie? Mike, can you contribute to this? Remember when,
how
do you remember
know
this?
Mike was a Trekkie.
Do you remember this movie? They put like the enemy puts in like Wrath of Khan or whatever, right? Star Trek Wrath of Khan puts a amoeba into a dude's helmet as a form of torture. Sure enough, goes right in his ear canal, eats his brain out.
Now, people don't think that they would be in a lake. Like somebody actually put that in, but they're in the lakes. So you have to, if your kid or whatever goes in the lake, they should have to wear, it goes through your nose. You have to wear ear, nose plugs. So people think, whatever, we just go into a lake. And but if it's a warm lake, it is a huge, it should be a huge fear. And it is a huge fear of mine.
Okay, now here's my question. You've met a friend for a quick drink on Melrose.
I like how you're reading your question.
I know.
Sim, no one can see this, but she's like, okay, here's my question.
I know. I know. Well, Sim has to do this for me because I get, as you can tell, I get super like...
distracted.
Yeah, distracted. What did you call it earlier? It was such a good word. It wasn't circumnavigate, but...
Circuitous.
Circuitous. Mm-hmm. I was an English major and I don't know any words.
You got a few right there.
I don't know any words that have more than two syllables.
The good thing is that the English language is made up of a lot of two syllable words.
Thanks for seeing the bright side, Olivia. Okay, you've met a friend for a quick drink on Melrose. You guys get into an argument involving politics. You're so furious, you leave. Mm. A masked person sneaks up behind you, grabs you, and drags you into the closest tattoo parlor.
He couldn't do it. I'm Psylocke. The guy's dead. End of conversation.
Done.
Next question.
That's it.
I have a sword closet. Next question.
No. The closest...
What I do is I take my pen and I use it like a sword.
Okay, Olivia, you're just going to have
to
go with me.
What I do is
here.
I take his phone, I take my phone, I find some duct tape, I turn it together, I turn it into a sword.
It's not happening.
Okay,
it's not happening.
No, but wait. But let's say
she has swords and a pen that turns into a sword.
Okay. Yes. But okay, let's just this masked person stabs a gun in your back and says, "Move, lady." Hear me out. Drags you into the closest tattoo parlor. He bolts the door and says, "If you don't get a tattoo, your favorite auntie will be hurt. Where is it and what will it be on your body?"
I would get a tattoo of,
you can't say my face.
No, I already have that. You're asking for what other tattoo I would get. This is a whole new scenario, not what I did last week. I would get a tattoo of, I would have a tattoo of an eagle on my back. And so when I move my arms, it would look like it was flying.
Oh my God, you're my husband's dream woman.
That's cool. I like that.
Just move your shoulder blades and it would just fly away.
He loves eagles. And I was like, honey, isn't that a little on the nose? But
eagles are wonderful.
Eagles are wonderful.
You named a penguin, right?
Yeah.
Jack named a penguin eagle. How did that work out? Yeah. It was
How do you guys get to do that? How do you get to go in and meet like baby penguins?
The Seattle Zoo?
Because I did one of these things when I went to Shanghai recently. I was like, they said, "What do you want to do? You can go see anything in Shanghai." I go, "Oh, great. Can I go see a panda and hold one?" And they're like, "No." I'm like, "I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm here as an actor. I'm a thespian working. I think you've seen Instagram. I've checked out the other celebs. #panda, #China. I'd like to hold a panda. Let me know when you arrange it." And they come back and they're like, "Okay." I'm like, waiting. "So where's the baby panda? Is it in my hands?" And they're like, "You can't hold the baby panda." Okay. Can somebody let me know why Angelina Jolie is holding pandas?
Yeah.
I don't know if she is, but I feel like she would be.
She totally would be.
I'm sure we can find a pic of her holding a panda.
I bet. Or make it.
I'm frustrated for you.
But so how do people, when you go, I always see this. It's like, you know, when Taylor Swift and Blake Lively are in Australia and they're like running through like some zoo together and there's nobody bothering them. Like, who shut down the zoo? And who did you call? And who's your publicist that got that? Do you call and say like, "Hey, it's Taylor Swift and Blake Lively and we want the zoo." And they're like, "Okay, everybody, kids, get out of here." Taking kids in their balloons and they shove them out the door. I mean, like, how do you get to hold a baby panda? How do you get to name a penguin?
Well, full disclosure, my dad used to, so the Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle, which is this awesome zoo, my dad used to be a part of their board as like, because they're a nonprofit zoo and they do like incredible research and everything. Anyway, they reached out to my dad and they said, "Oh, well, one of these penguins is expecting. Could we do a little outreach thing where Jack could name it?" And so that's how that happened. So my dad pretty much got me all my jobs in Hollywood.
She's just basically pulling the zoo royalty card. We are zoo royalty.
We can hook you up with
We can totally hook you up if you need with
help. Can you get me a pan?
Of course.
My dad can totally get you anything you want.
Like, Anna, if your dad gets me a panda, you can have your all hair? Of my hair. Yeah. I swear. I want a panda. I want a panda. Like, why
now,
are
wait.
Celebs going
How
to zoos
old?
And
do you want like a toddler panda?
Or like
do you
a
want,
baby
like,
panda.
Like an itsy tiny one that
and
looks
then
like.
Then when it gets bigger, like, I want somebody else to take it, and then I want a new baby one again.
You got it.
By the way, that's why it's kind of my theory on why people are adopting a lot of Asian kids, because they look younger so long, and it makes like the actresses look younger. You know, like Maddox is like really 25, but if Angelina Jolie was walking around with a 25-year-old, they'd be like, "Whoa, Angelina Jolie must be like what, like 60?" Like, no way. But she's like, "If I get the Asians, I'm gonna look so young for so long." That's what I think. So, long story short, I want a baby panda all the time, because like, look at her with her cute baby panda. She's got to be like what, 12? I'm like, yeah, I'm only 12. I'm not going to be older. My baby panda is really young. I mean, if I had an older panda, then you would think, yeah, do the math. I'm older, but I'm not.
She's Olivia Munn, the sexiest 12-year-old we've ever had on our podcast.
You're in trouble, because Chris is a tall guy, and your son is the product of both of you. He's white. He's going to look like he's like 35 next week.
Really?
He's going to be like, stop growing.
I love having a boy so much, but I do know that there's going to be like the sticky socks and the sheets and the blankets.
Ooh.
I know.
Come on. It's not fair.
What do you mean? Sim, what did you do to hide it? Did you do your own laundry?
Oh.
Yeah, Amanda knows firsthand, my dear friend here. She's spent some time with, yeah, you know. How do you say it
like that? Yeah, she's like, yeah, she's helped some sticky time. Socks along the way.
Sim, what did you do?
No, I never use a sock.
Why a sock? What's up with a sock?
I feel like they're handy.
Because boys can be so lazy. It's easier for cleanup sake.
What?
Well, what did you use?
Easier than what? What are the other options?
Well, I never understood the sock, but I guess it's the convenience factor of a sock.
But why do guys have socks everywhere that they're just so convenient? Do you have like a basket? Mom, put the socks in the basket by my bed. Mom, no, Mom. The Jergens and the socks by the bed. Mom, I told you. Mom, my Legos. And the Jergens and the socks by the bed. Mom, where's my remote? Is that you? Say that in Hindi. Wait, do you want more kids?
I would. I would. I really would. I would love to have a big family, but it truly is like I know, and everyone tells you this, but you don't fully understand it until it happens, that it really tidal waves your life. Like, it is the amount of work and change in your life is so dramatic that it's almost like, and I say this in like the best way possible, but it really is like there's before the incident and after the incident. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I try to imagine my life before Jack, like, man, I remember, like, I was able to, like, go do things.
Right.
And go have lunch with friends. And I'm lucky because I have so much help. And we're lucky that, you know, we have resource and, you know, between, you know.
But it doesn't stop the feeling of, the feeling that he's your son and you want to make sure your responsibility for him and your love for him. And, like, all of a sudden, love does not come, like, it's not. Love comes with that responsibility as well. Like, you love him, so you want to do all those
and
things.
And it's truly like I'm not quite sure if men feel it quite the same way, but it really is like, it's like a sleeping bag of guilt that I'm suddenly wrapped up in. Guilty all the time. I just feel guilty for not doing things right. I feel guilty for, you know, if I'm here with him, not playing with him enough, for, you know, is everything organic? Like, the massive amount of guilt, I think, is that I'll feel, I think, for the rest of my life, is that I think most moms feel it's a tough one.
Dear listeners, I want to thank our presenting sponsor, State Farm. State Farm agents know that life is unpredictable and anything can happen. Like the time when my brother Bob's get-rich-quick boa constrictor breeding program came to an abrupt halt when Marge made her escape. Bob wasn't quick enough and Marge disappeared through a vent in the garage wall. My parents weren't home and Bob made the quick decision to open up the wall with a saw and hammer. Over the next hour, I just watched him destroy the garage while I eagerly anticipated my parents' return. Eventually, Marge was rescued and State Farm was there to help repair the damage she caused. Marge also turned out to be a boy snake, and Bob's breeding program never quite took off. From home and auto insurance to investments in banking, State Farm agents are there for you as you face the unexpected. Manage the risks of everyday living and build your dreams. With over 19,000 agents in neighborhoods across the country, there's an agent near you who can help fix your garage and understand the frustration you feel when your brother isn't grounded. Check out statefarm.com to find an agent in your neighborhood. State Farm, talk to an agent today. My dad wants me to tell you about Nancy Pipinich. Nancy is a good friend of my family and has no idea that I'm talking about her here on the podcast. But Nancy came into our lives nearly 40 years ago when my dad called State Farm to talk about buying our first house. And Nancy has been personally taking care of my family ever since. From home and auto insurance to investments in banking, State Farm agents know that in life anything can happen. And with over 19,000 agents across the United States, there is an agent near you ready to help build your dreams or face the unexpected. So contact an agent today, because no matter where you're from or whatever stage of life you're in, State Farm is there for you. Check out statefarm.com today to find an agent in your neighborhood. State Farm, talk to an agent today. Thank you, Nancy.
I have a question that Ooh. I think all of your listeners
turning the tables
want to.
Around with Olivia Munn.
This is the question that I ask. Like, I'll be at a dinner with my boyfriend, and then there'll be a, like, somebody we meet, and she just had a baby. And because I feel like I talk to girls, like, I feel like we're all like, oh yeah, like you can kind of tell which girls you can. By the way, you can just delete this out if you don't want to have this in there. But I suggest you keep it in. But I always ask girls.
You mean his penis? Or?
No. I always want to know, honestly. Wait, sorry if it's too personal. Did you have natural or not natural vaginal birth? Or
I did. Yeah.
Okay. So here is my question to so many women, and it's all, and I ask now lately, what happens to your vagina? Because I have heard horror stories when my friends are like, "Do you really want to know?" I'm like, "Yeah, really. Tell me. Truly tell me."
I don't want to know.
Well, Sam, you have to cover your ears. Because here's the thing is, every girlfriend of mine, you'd be the first person on a microphone.
And mine just got tighter and hotter.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you one girl said that to me? One girl recently said that to me. And she goes, I got to tell you, I actually think mine looks better afterwards. And I said, now I know you're lying to me. Because you want me to go through the same thing.
What a wench.
I know. But all my other girlfriends said, honestly, they're like, no, you know, they've all said this. And they're none of them know each other. And they
I'm
said
doing Kegels as we're
as you're talking. As they said it looks like there's a small vagina on top of your vagina. No. Like it looks. They keep saying the phrase "blown out." Like it looks like everything's been blown out. And they said it doesn't come back. And they said it doesn't come back.
Really?
No, about, I think it does.
What about like surgery? Like I'm sure
well, then why? Yeah. And then by the way, if it does come back, why is there surgery?
Well, these are questions I don't fully know, but I. Think.
But it did get blown out, didn't it?
Well, I think I've been.
Do you have two vaginas now?
I think it's well. I'm. That's why I need your hair.
Like a baby panda but, vagina.
No, but I think is that it? It's. It does come back. No. I think it does. I mean, there are probably other people that may or may not agree with what I just said. but I do think it does. But the 2 weeks after giving birth, like people talk about the idea of a pelvic floor, and you really have no idea what they're talking about.
No, I don't know what that
until
means.
Until
what is a pelvic floor?
You feel it.
What is after. A pelvic floor?
I don't know.
It's
that means.
Like your pelvis is on the floor.
It's the muscles that like surround your vagina.
Uh-huh.
It's like
and what do this, they do?
they throb for like 2 weeks. Sorry, throb.
Okay, but they don't fall out. Like they're not like, you know.
No,
like,
no. But you, but it is. It's so, you know how like if you've ever seen, say, Teen Mom on MTV. When they're taking their baby home and they go over a speed bump and they're like, ow. And you're like, that seems dumb. But then after you've had a baby, you're like, ow.
But I that makes sense because, you know, you've just, it's like pushing a cantaloupe through your nostril. Like, I get it. Like, that's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm. But we should have been given more holes in general.
Yes. But that, the whole, when you do a vaginal birth, they, like the pushing and everything that happens on your vagina, they say it just blows up.
No, I think that I like.
Well, how long did it take before it for you it went back to normal?
I feel like it took like 6 weeks. You know, like
that's not bad.
No,
yeah, but I have other friends. All my other friends who said,
"Will you give us their names, full names?"
They're civilians. Like some of them have. I mean, like their baby's a year old. They're like, it's still like that.
Really?
And, well, and all of them have kids who are like 5 or 6. The ones have a 6-month-old. The other one has a year old. And they all said it's the same. And they said it just never looks 100% the same.
To them. But to guys, it's going to look the same.
I think so.
Guys are not going to care. They're not going to. I mean, they don't. No.
Well, it's going to look. But you know what will always keep it the same? A C-section.
Yeah.
And you know what they never do? An emergency vaginal birth. They do emergency C-sections. I'm like, why don't you just like skip all that and go to that?
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Although.
I'm pro drugs.
But you're not doing C-section. Any. Pro at all. Just take it out. Can you grow my baby in a mason jar?
Yes. I would love that.
So no more kids for you?
I don't know. I would love to because I know, you know, we both love kids. We both have. Chris and I both have dreamed of having a big family. It's
not
just
even one more.
I would love one more. Listen to you. Really are. Would it be?
By the way, this is a scoop.
I know. Thanks, well, guys. No. I really would. I really would. But
hey, Sim,
we did it.
You did it.
I didn't love pregnancy.
Were you nauseous the whole time?
No. I was just bored. I was just kind of bored. I was uncomfortable at times. And Jack came early.
I think I heard about that.
Yeah, he came 2 months early.
Oh,
so I'm
scary.
Now like a high risk pregnant. I'm in like a high risk pregnancy category. So it would be a lot. But I would love to. I really would. It's just, I just wish that instead of being 26, I was 19.
I did really quick. I did the math. I was like, wait. I didn't even go through the miracle of life and have a high risk, you know, pregnancy or not. It wasn't high risk pregnancy, but I didn't go through the miracle of life and then have a baby born 2 months early to be high risk. I just turned 35. then they're your high risk. But I did. Years ago, I froze a bunch of eggs.
Oh, good for you. That's
so smart. A girlfriend of mine, we were the same age, and she had gone to the doctor and found out that she had the egg count of a 50-something-year-old woman. And you know, they can tell by a blood test that actually tells you, like, from this percentage to this percentage, you're in your 20s, and this to 30s and 40s. And then it goes. And so I went to the doctor and did the whole test, and he said, you know, you actually have a lot of eggs, so you're really lucky. The egg count.
Can I have one of yours?
You actually could. I would let you. You'd have a little half Asian baby who would be really good at math and
good at holding pandas.
Would really want a panda. So they said, you know, what would be good is because you can take the blood test and you could be like, I'm sorry, it's not genetically, it's not where you're at. It's not, you don't have the eggs, but for me, they said, you'll never have a problem. We can look at it into like, you know, this is the count you'll have until like you're in your 40s, even 50s, you're going to have a lot. But the best thing to do is freeze your eggs because you'll always have these eggs. And I actually started telling my friends about it. I said, you know, cause it's no longer on the experimental list. And I think that every girl should do it just because for 3 reasons. One, you don't have to race the clock anymore. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about like your job or anything. It's there. Two, you know, if anything ever happens medically, I've known some girls who, you know, are in their late 20s who, you know, get cancer, and all of a sudden they've got to go through treatment, and then, you know, they don't have any eggs after that, and, yeah. and they've had a really hard time. So you just don't know what happened, like, medically. And three is that, you know, God forbid you are in a relationship and you ever divorce, but a lot of times women are like, you know, 45, you know, a couple kids, they get a divorce, the guy goes off, he meets a younger girl who wants to have kids, he can have a whole new family, and you're right there.
But I like this doomsday approach, Olivia.
It is. But now doomsday is now like whatever's day, because I'm prepared.
I got to tell you, though, you're right, though. It's smart. It's like having a will. It's just smart planning.
It's also just like, why not do it? Like, because I see so many women who go through it in vitro later and trying to get it, and like they're struggling and struggling. It's like, oh, well, we have the option.
Do you want to be pregnant?
Yes. Like actually be pregnant?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have my baby?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That'd be so much fun. I would move in with you guys.
Olivia Munn is my surrogate mommy.
That would be kind of amazing, right? I'm going to start smoking.
Good.
But just because I want your kid to be tough.
Good.
Do you want him to like white wine or Zima's?
Zima.
Zima with a Jolly Rancher?
Oh my God, I haven't thought about Zima in 4 minutes.
With a Jolly Rancher in it? Yeah. Tastes so good. Speaking of wills, you know when you freeze your eggs? Have you done that?
No.
When you freeze your eggs, they make you sign something. They say, one, if something happens to you, if you die, do you want to donate them to research? Do you want to donate them to research, destroy them, or will them to somebody? And I said, I don't want somebody to, not on my kid, do research and stuff. No. Destroy them. Well, I went through all of this, you know, no, will them. I'm like, I mean,
I've Victoria's Secret. You could will them.
Oh my gosh. I'm good. It could be an award. It could be in the award. I willed them to my niece, and who's like, you know, well, yeah, you have to write her, you know, she's so little.
You can change it anytime you want, right?
Yeah, if I wanted to. Yeah. But then I started thinking about this. I was like, okay, let me just think about this. So what if my niece never needs them? Well, then she's got these. Well, then she wills them to her children. And then her children. And then cut to basically, Sim, what you could do is you could freeze yours. You could freeze your eggs. And then we could, and then our children's children's children can meet and be like, they'd be like, my mom died 400 years ago.
That's
how amazing would that be?
I love that idea. Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do it.
You're fucked up, Olivia.
That is, look, in my will, it's like, you can't have this baby until you've given it down four generations. That would be amazing. Let's freeze our eggs together. Let's do it.
I will say, though, getting back to the pelvic floor thing, and we have to get to some callers, but I have to urinate first. But, and we have a quick game for you. But I will say what makes up for sort of whatever kind of is happening down in your pelvic floor area is Chris's face when Jack was being born is just unforgettable. And it's like the amount of sort of that flood of emotion, because I was so worried, like all other women, of you know what I mean? Like this.
Was he down there looking at it?
Oh, yeah. And he was like holding my hand, and he's just like bursty. He's just sobbing. And I just, because I was so scared that, you know, he would be sort of turned off by the whole thing. You know, what if, you know, I don't know.
Like it looks like a reverse garbage disposal. Yeah. Coming out of it.
It'll never be attracted to me again or
but
whatever.
He doesn't seem like that kind of guy, though.
No, he has a very, he forgets quite quickly. But I don't know. That was amazing seeing his face of like, can't believe. And he was so sweet, too. He was like, oh my God, honey, you were so brave. You were so brave. You didn't scream. He was like, I saw how much pain you were in. And he was like, you just, man, you just powered through it. You were just so, which is exactly what you want to hear. And I hope that, you know, anyway, it's like, as women should know that it's, because I remember once, and I love Howard Stern, but I remember once hearing him describe the birth of his child and how grotesque he thought it was. And I know he was trying to be funny and everything, but it really stuck with me. I was like, well,
I see that. And it's nice that you put it out in the better way, because it, I actually know a lot of guys who have talked about being there and loved it, and they wanted to, they're like, I want to see this. I want to see my child coming. And they were so excited, and they actually, when you ask them, like, well, did you think differently about it? And a lot of them, the response is like, as if you ask them some really juvenile question, they're like, no, that's stupid. Right, it's like, no, my concern is just what happens after that, what I have to live with after that. The baby's out. You got the baby. Well, you saw the miracle of life, and now I got to live with this.
I feel like I might be getting my medical license soon. And if you want me to perform a C-section, I'm more than happy to do that for you.
I'm completely down with that. I would actually prefer you I'd do it vaginally, and then you just sew everything up right afterwards for me.
Sure.
Just sew it
No
up.
Problem.
Yeah.
Sew the whole thing up?
The whole thing.
Urethra too?
Everything.
Okay.
It's better that, trust me, from what the horror stories I've told and the horror story you're not telling everyone. We're going to want it all set. Just take it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right.
But I'll be carrying your baby. So,
you know, this is so beautiful. I love that he put so much trust in me. And
this is what you need to do, what other real podcasts would do, where they like, you're joking around saying something, but then the headline is something different. And you'd be like, you know, Anna Faris asked Olivia to be the surrogate.
Oh, that's going
to
happen anyways.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen. Someone's going to take this and completely put it on the internet and say yes. And then, of course.
And she agreed.
And she agreed. Sure.
Right, 100%.
I'm completely planning on that happening, by the way.
Yeah, it'll be
my you going to be okay with, shooting while pregnant?
Yeah, I mean, I'm shooting April, May. And then, so you don't start showing till when?
Yeah, that would work out.
Are you
out.
One of those girls who are like, oh, I start showing early because I'm so tiny? I'm like, I don't know if that's
really annoying. Yeah.
They're like, oh, I start showing because I'm really small. I'm really tiny. I'm just one of those.
Those are the worst.
All those worst are like, oh, I don't know. I just, I mean, I think it's because I'm really tall. Like, the weight just distributes really easily. I don't know. Pregnancy was really easy for me. I loved it. Oh, my God. It was so great. Oh, my God. I just, this thing. Oh, where'd you get that jacket? Oh, like this really crazy vintage store in, Europe somewhere. Oh, really? Because I saw it at Topshop. You lying bitch. You just don't want to tell me. Oh, it's a vintage store in Europe.
I love Olivia's anchors.